Episode 1 of Welcome to Level 7, teased by a trailer.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7. Hi, I'm Ben Avery. I'm one of two hosts of this podcast, and I am joined by my partner in crime,
Daniel Butcher.
That's right. Daniel, those words, welcome to Level 7. It's a greeting, it's a title, it's a podcast, it's also from a trailer.
I'll be honest, every time I hear them, I tingle.
We can talk a little more about that later, but for right now...
We should probably save that for maybe some private time.
Yeah.
Me and my therapist.
Yeah. But those words from that trailer are the title of this podcast, and we are here to basically geek out about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is now expanding to include the small screen. So welcome to Level 7. Let's talk about this thing, man.
Oh, we're going to talk it to death.
And then bring it back to life, just like Agent Coulson.
Oh, my hero.
We are doing this podcast because there was a trailer released for Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2.5 minutes long. And also the news that the show had been ordered to series.
Pilots, and that's for a full season order.
Yeah.
That's not 8 episodes. It's not a trial. It's a full season. Paid for, lock, stock, and barrel.
It is done and done. Sign on the dotted line. And was there any question in your mind, Daniel, that this was going to happen?
I could see a situation where that pilot could have been really, really bad. I mean, let's be honest. There's a huge potential corniness factor that could occur with this program. There really is. I mean, it could go bad. You've seen the Hasselhoff S.H.I.E.L.D. show, correct?
I have, yes.
Now, I mean, you could go that far. You could be that bad. You really could.
You could.
Because I mean, wasn't that a pilot, too?
Well, yeah. I mean, anything made for TV like that, they're shooting for a series, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they could have. It could have been horrible, but... I think the fact that they have Clark Gregg there, the fact that they have Josh Whedon helping to direct it, to kind of give direction to the program, I think that from ABC and Disney executives, there is no chance that this is a huge moneymaker.
Yes.
And they're going to get plenty and plenty of sponsors who want to drop cash right on top of them to be able to advertise Tuesday nights.
That's right. I mean, they know. That people are going to be, you know, doing things like recording podcasts about their show 3 months before it's even on TV.
Oh, yeah.
They know. And, which is what we're doing right now. You know what, Daniel? I think we maybe need to introduce ourselves to whoever might be listening to this podcast.
That sounds fantastic because we may have some people who have no idea who we actually are.
I would say it's pretty likely that we have people who are listening who have no idea who we actually are.
In fact, I hope there's people who have no idea who we actually are.
Now, there might be some who might know who we actually are simply because we are both from other podcasts. And that's actually how we know each other, is because of these other podcasts. My name is Ben Avery, and I am a comic book writer, and I also do children's ministry and different, you know, teaching type things. And I'm also a big Marvel fan, and I do a podcast called Strangers and Aliens, which is about faith and imagination. And because of Strangers and Aliens, that's how I got to know my co-host, Daniel Butcher.
Because I am on the original faith-based podcast.
We're probably not going to talk too much about our other podcasts after this point. But,
I am occasionally on the Sci-Fi Christian podcast. But my big reason I'm here is because I also run a blog called Between Disney. So I'm a gigantic Disney fan. I'm a man in my 30s who loves Mickey Mouse. And I love all things Disney, including their franchises, Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah, you got lucky, man. You're three big things, And all of a sudden, you know, within the span of a couple years, they're all just under one roof now.
And this summer, I'm going to be able to go to Disneyland and experience all three at the same time.
I can't believe for the that.
First time I will be able to meet Mickey Mouse, jump over to Ride Star Tours and go to Hoth, and then walk over to Interventions and go to Iron Man's Hall of Armor. I cannot wait. My wife may leave me there and abandon me.
But
I cannot wait.
It's the happiest place on Earth, man.
And it's happy the for happiest a
place on Earth. And now it's even happier. So, and the people in charge, they're happy too, because they're going to be making lots more money off of you, Daniel.
As I look around the what I like to call the Between Disney Studios, and I look at my Mickey Mouse figurine standing right next to my Nick Fury bobblehead, I think they know their target audience.
Yeah, they definitely do. Which I think brings us to our main discussion here today. We're going to be talking about the trailer.
Well, and I think we need to make it clear: there's two trailers.
Only one counts, in my opinion.
Well,
I only care about one.
So we've got the short one. It's 30 seconds long, and it tells us absolutely nothing except for the fact that the show is going to be funny.
Yeah. I watched that one once.
It's got some good shots in it.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, the whole 30 seconds, it pays off with the Lola line. That's the only thing that you really get out of that.
Right. Well, you get Coulson is in this, and you get Joss Whedon is involved, and you get that it's tied into the Avengers, and then you get a really funny line.
You also do get the fact that they are going to reuse some images from the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, and I'm curious about that. I'm curious how much they're actually going to be able to do that. It's great because they can use Iron Man without using Robert Downey Jr. if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Because he's completely covered.
So I do think that was part of their point, was reminding you, hey, we've got these movies that you seem to enjoy, general public. This show is tied to those movies.
Yeah.
And it's going to be funny.
Yeah. So I watched that one once, and I was excited. But then the long one came. And I watched that one, you know, half a dozen times. I didn't go too crazy with it, but it made me really, really excited for what we're going to be getting. And I hope I'm not too excited about it, that I'm just going to have my expectations dashed, but yeah.
Well, when I watched it originally, I got to the line that's the real key line for me, and then I woke up about 3 minutes later. So I may be more excited than you were.
Maybe, because I didn't pass out or anything, but yeah, let's see. This trailer, it comes out. And it starts out, and it's really inspirational, I guess, talking about heroes and gods and showing us the hammer and showing us the shield and all that stuff. Then it gets into all the nerd stuff, you know, and you meet the new characters, you meet how Coulson's going to be introduced. So is that at what point did you faint?
The Coulson, when he popped out of the shadows and said, "Welcome to level 7. I know that he was in the show. I already knew he was in the show. I'd seen him in the short trailer. It just the fact that I was like, there's my peek to the reintroduction of Coulson into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it caused me some real excitement to actually see him speak a line and introduce himself to a character that I had no idea who it was, even though they just ripped the heart and soul out of the Avengers.
Which we can talk about later, but yeah, I do wish it wouldn't. Just imagine how awesome it would have been if we had turned on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in, you know, first because it's September or whatever, and all of a sudden Coulson walks in and we had no idea. I'm imagining that reveal that we see in the trailer, and imagining, oh, can you imagine if it actually was a reveal?
Yeah. See, my thing is, I think 15 years ago they could have done that. But now with Clark Gregg on Twitter and with IMDb, I mean, it's nearly impossible to hide who these folks are.
Well, not only that, he's the only selling point from, you know, he and Joss Whedon, I should say, are the only selling points. He is. They probably would not have made this series without him. I really think that's why they had to bring him back, because maybe they could have used Maria Hill Was it Colby Smulders?
Smulders.
Yeah. Maybe they could have wrapped the show around her, but I don't think they could have. I don't think
emotionally they could have. I don't think there's anyone who's at the moment really a fan of Maria Hill. And if you read things like the comics, it's not exactly like she grows on you. It's somebody that you generally are going to – I mean, right at the moment, I feel like in the cinematic universe, she's kind of like neutral because I don't think we really saw a real glimpse to her character. But if you begin to delve into the comic books on her, let's be honest, she's nasty. I mean, I guess she's the person that you want watching over your security, but she's definitely not the person you want – you know, protecting you right there in the room. You don't exactly get reassurance from her. You get the feeling at any moment this lady could snap.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, they're not bringing in Samuel L. Jackson. They can't do that.
Why can't they?
Because of the money. I mean, he's not going to headline a TV show for the amount of money that he could command.
Well, okay.
You know, I mean, that I'm talking about, you know, not story-wise. I'm talking about, like, real-world problems here. They can't pay him enough.
I think they could bring him in for 20 seconds.
Oh, absolutely because they could, and I hope they do.
Because I think he's a fanboy. But I definitely don't think, he would do an entire season on the small screen.
So if they're going to do a small-screen TV series, they need to bring in someone who doesn't have, like, his sights set on, I'm a movie star. And so Chris Evans... he'd be great. It'd be great if the show was wrapped around him. But then, of course, it's Captain America. It's a different show. But, yeah, I mean, these other guys, they're saving them for the big screen. These other characters, they're big screen characters. You got to go small screen. Coulson was way to go.
Craig is an experienced small screen actor.
He is, yeah.
He knows what the expectation is of working a series on television. And he's a really good actor.
He's a great actor, and he's a character that we connect with. Because he's a good actor.
I would argue he's beloved.
I'd be okay with that. I wouldn't argue with you against that.
I think he was probably the greatest surprise of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think when they originally started with him, I think they were thinking, we got a character actor, we're bringing him in, he's going to do a nice job. I don't think they ever had any expectation that the fans would love him as much as they did. When he died in the Avengers, I almost wanted to cry.
Yeah, well, I mean, he started out as a joke, and then they gave him a little bit of depth, and then they realized, this is our in for the Avengers. He is the fanboy. I mean, he wears a suit, so he doesn't look like the fanboy, but he is the fanboy, and he is there to be us. And so we connect with him, and then all of a sudden, he's gone, but not for long. So
it was shocking.
It was.
Even though everybody warned that someone was going to die.
Yeah. Or as I put it, someone's going to get washed.
Oh.
I knew that someone was going to get washed, and I wasn't expecting it to be him. But, I mean, that's the thing. You said it ripped the heart and soul out of the Avengers by bringing him back for this TV show. And in some ways, you're right. And that's why this show better be good. Because when he was dead, it gave that motivation to all the other characters. And I understand what people are saying, that Nick Fury lied, or that's the possibility that Nick Fury lied. And so now Coulson, you know, he became that martyr that they needed to get Tony Stark to say, let's do this. But on the other hand, you know, we're taking that away now, and it better be good. It better be worth it that we've got him in a TV show.
And I personally think it will be.
Now, do you think it's possible that he is not the Coulson we know?
Well, I think it's a possibility. This is the comic book world. This is not the television world. You know, we're not following the same rules. I think back to Heroes, which I loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember a lot of fans complained about things. But the fans didn't also seem to understand the dynamics of comic book death.
Yeah.
And I think that we look at a character like Coulson who's quote-unquote doesn't have power, so how can he have a comic book death? Obviously, there's tons of ways in a comic book you can resolve this, including evil clone, good clone, twin brother.
I expected Avengers 2 to have the Vision and then we find out in the course of the movie, possibly, that it was Coulson.
So there yeah. it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was
the genie's out of the bottle. Is he the Vision?
I doubt it. Now that he's on the TV show, he's probably not going to be.
Yeah, but they have to move some of that that content from the comic world into the television show.
That's true.
And the see, here's the real question for me. I think fans want him to be the Vision. So is Whedon and Feige and Marvel going to say, here's what you want. We're going to give you to him as the Vision.
I think, though, what you're going to get, if that's even a part of things, it would end up being, here is the Vision, and he happens to be Coulson, instead of here's Coulson, who happens to be the Vision. I mean, he's going to be the guy. He's the guy in the suit. He's not a computer construct.
Well, but I think, again, this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I mean, I can remember some of the complaints of some of these other movies. Even the Avengers is not as real-worldy
mm-hmm.
as Iron Man was, for example. Isn't the Vision as a guy in a suit a real-world Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the Vision, maybe?
Maybe, except and I'll just keep no. I don't think they could do it. I don't think they would do it. Just because he looks the same. They have to have something to make it so he doesn't look the same, so he's not the same exact guy.
Here's what I think. I think that we're going to be debating and looking at clues for at least a year. I don't think they're going to tell us.
That's possible. I do wonder when they're going to reveal the backstory to the whole death.
Yeah, I think they're going to string us out. And maybe in 2015 we find out in Avengers 2 he is the Vision.
Yeah, it could be.
But I do think that we'll string this story out on us. And it's not going to be wrapped up in episode 1. I will be shocked. I will put it on my bet board. I do not think we know how Coulson is back in episode 1.
I'll take that bet.
Yeah.
And take it with you.
I just think that's too good of a story.
I agree.
It's too good of a story piece just to give it away on the first shot.
Unless it really is as simple as Nick Fury lied. If it's that simple, it'll be out. And we'll know.
Hmm.
It'll just be, yeah, you know what? Things need to get done. And so Nick, you know, Fury lied. He told everyone he was dead. And because the other thing then is you have him kind of walking around out just in broad daylight. It's not like a secret now.
So
there's the, anyway.
So there's the other thing that's hitting me from this trailer, because I feel like from the long trailer, we're beginning to see a team get put together, even though Coulson doesn't call it a team.
Right.
So my next question is, you have to move from level 6 to level 7 to even find out Coulson's alive.
Right.
Is this a sub team of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is this a special forces, a secret Avengers? Is it a hidden group within S.H.I.E.L.D. that a lot of folks don't necessarily know about? Which would give you a reason why in Avengers 2, where you wouldn't even have to bring him in.
Yeah, I think there might be something to that, because, you know, he says we take care of the things that S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't classified. And at first it kind of didn't ring true, because I was thinking, well, they didn't classify it. So that means it's declassified. You know, it's common knowledge because it's not classified. But I think it's more S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't classified it because they haven't experienced it yet. Like, this is the team that's out there looking at the remains of an alien that's been found out in someone's farm or something like that. This is the team that's going out and trying to, you know, run interference so that the world doesn't find out about things that if the world knew about, I guess you did have the Battle of New York that people can't exactly hide that. But
I mean, so for me, I think a lot of the inspiration for the Marvel Cinematic Universe comes out of the Ultimate Universe.
Yes.
And even there with the Avengers squads, you have a version. You've got the Ultimates, which is this public-facing group, but then you also have this secret special ops group of Avengers. So I don't think it's necessarily out of line to say in the Cinematic Universe you may have a public S.H.I.E.L.D. and a private S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I absolutely think that there's something like that going on there. And these are people who are getting pulled then into, or at least the, what is that, Agent Ward, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Who, I think Agent Ward is meant to be our contact character that we follow into the rabbit hole, and that we are going along with him to and discovering what is this world that we're stepping into? And so he's the character that, as he learns, we learn what Section 7 is, or Level 7 is. I said Section 7 because I keep thinking of Section 31 from Star Trek, where it's that black ops, you know, no one knows about it, not even the government.
I don't have no idea what you're talking about.
You will. You
oh,
will.
No.
Oh, yes, no. In time, Daniel.
I'm assuming tomorrow morning. So I agree. I think that Agent Ward is who we're following into the rabbit hole. I don't think it's Sky.
No.
Which is the civilian recruit.
No. And because she's part of the rabbit hole. She's part of that world that we don't know about. She's part of, you know, we're learning about this world, and she's a part of, I don't know what you would call her, not the resistance, but, you know, she's that blogger who's out there making everyone know what's really happening. Right.
Well, I think so. A few weeks ago, ABC released this footage that people are calling Hulk footage, mm-hmm. and it had this rising tide like logo on it. And I think they were trying for a social media piece. And I'll be honest, Disney has kind of failed recently with some of their social media pieces and attempts. But so I wonder if they kind of gave this up because she's clear. She talks about tide. I think that she's starting as part of this rising tide, almost kind of counter SHIELD group. And I think Coulson is pulling her in as a recruit because he understands that she has some skills.
Maybe. I mean, they have a website, wearetherisingtide.com, and it has some of those viral videos they're trying to post, including, well, here it is, footage from Stark Expo attacks, evidence of real-life monster, and there's Iron Man flying, you know, and again, you can, they don't have to use Robert Downey Jr. They're not paying him money. They're just paying for the computer graphics to do it and tell the story for them. Yeah. So I think this wearetherisingtide.com is meant to be her website.
But how long can that last if she gets recruited in episode one?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
And I wonder about the We Are, and I wonder if they had bigger plans for this because, Ben, have you attempted at all to free the Disney goat?
I have no idea what that even is.
Exactly. The Disney and marketing units have not done well with social media and trying to get these things to kind of work their way.
What is that even a part of?
It's a Walt Disney World social media campaign. Free the goat.
Free the goat? Why are you
it's
trying
from
to
Big
free
Thunder
a goat?
Mountain, oh. Yeah. And they want you to take action to free the goat and by sharing stuff online. And to be honest, I never did it. I'm looking here now. Apparently, the goat is Billy the Goat at Big Thunder Mountain. I had no idea the goat had a name.
Well, Billy the Goat. That's a
Billy the
really,
Goat.
Really, really original name there. Yeah, here they say Rising Tide. We keep posting videos, and someone is taking them down. We don't know who, but we won't be silenced. And that's in the. I mean, that's in the trailer.
Yep.
Which is it's a great moment. And I'm hoping a lot of what we're seeing from the trailer, these great moments, is from the first, you know, 15 minutes, half hour of the premiere.
I feel like they're all from the pilot. And do they even have anything else but the pilot done right at the moment?
Well, I don't think so. But I mean, I'm hoping it's from the first half hour of the pilot so that we're getting, like, all this stuff early on in the show. So there's more new stuff that we're not – that will still be surprising for us, I guess. Because I want surprises, you know? I want things to happen that we're not expecting.
Well, I think part of what you're going to have to do is stay away from speculation.
I guess, but
I will say that you brought up Star Trek.
I did.
I still have no idea what character Sherlock Holmes is playing. Now, I did see an article earlier today that said Cumberbatch's character is, and I could have clicked on it and found out.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So this is one day before I'm going to go see that movie. They've done a fairly good job of keeping it under wraps. So maybe there is still surprises to be had in this world of social media.
There might be. And I'm just saying for like this, they revealed that girl's going to get pulled in, you know? So I'm hoping that's early on.
Hey, and just because she gets pulled in doesn't mean she can't leave again.
Right. Well, you know, depending on what they tell her and what they use her for.
Yep.
So I do remember, and this is kind of going back, going into the actually moving away from the trailer and into expectations. You remember the show Dark Angel?
No.
With, I remember her name now.
Yes.
Jessica Alba. Yeah, Jessica Alba.
Never watched it.
Okay, well, they had a character who was like that, where he was, you know, projecting videos out into the ether, you know, revealing things to people about what's really happening behind the scenes. And so I'm reminded of that with this. And I'm also reminded of Serenity, the movie, which is kind of flipping this on its head, where you have the main characters are trying to get the video out to the rest of the world so everyone can know who the Reavers are. And you know, with this, they're shutting it down. Our heroes are shutting down the truth.
Well, and to be honest, you know, Coulson is someone who is very idealistic when it comes to superheroes. I mean, when he sees that video of the unknown, that's not Nick Cage superhero. when they ask him what that is, he says, well, that's a superhero. He doesn't say that's a supervillain. So it's possible, again, crazy speculation here. Maybe he's going to be feeding her videos.
That would be interesting. That would be interesting. And so they're not so much trying to suppress information as control how it gets released.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
So here's another thing I'm thinking from as I see this trailer and as I think through the series. I think that this series, which I'm crossing my fingers, lasts at least 4 seasons. I think we're going to see seasons that are going to be made up of standalone episodes and mythology episodes. And I have a feeling that we're going to see maybe in each season, maybe an underlying story around a hero, but then also have kind of standalone episodes.
Yeah. As I'm thinking about this show, I'm thinking about there are other shows that I'm kind of comparing to what could possibly happen. And what you're describing, Daniel, is at least for me the first 3 seasons of Fringe, where each episode was a kind of standalone monster of the week sort of thing. And then maybe every other, you know, every 3 or 4 episodes was a big mythology episode, but every episode had something to do with the big mythology. There was something at the very beginning, something at the very end, and in between there's a whole nother story going on that you didn't have to be following every episode in order to enjoy. And that's the fine line that they were trying to walk with Fringe, was to allow people who are not watching every week to still like what they're seeing, because it's, you don't have to know, oh, this alternate universe happened and this happened and that happened. Instead, you can just come in and, oh, there's this monster on a plane and it does this and this and this, and they have to stop it. And I think that, yeah, I think that's exactly the way I'd like to see them go with this show.
I will say this, though, if because I've never seen Fringe, but if they wind up having an animated musical episode of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we may have to reassess.
Well, there was a musical episode of Buffy.
Oh, ugh. I never saw Buffy.
I never watched Buffy either. So, but with Fringe, I didn't watch the last few seasons. I just kind of lost track of it. But like I said, early on, they did a good job of, here's some mythology at the beginning. Here's, it's, you know, a standalone episode. And then here's a little tidbit of information about the mythology at the end. And then they hook you in. You're wanting to watch to find out what's going on. But then if you're just a casual viewer, you're okay. And I think they have to do that with this in order for it to succeed. They have to bring in the casual viewer and the hardcore fanatic.
I agree.
So the other,
I absolutely agree. And there's shows that that works on.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's not like creating a new formula.
The what I'm hoping they don't do is that this just becomes superhero CSI or superhero Law and Order
or superhero like X-Files.
Yeah,
it's going to be superhero X-Files.
It is going to be superhero X-Files. It is.
And I never saw the X-Files either. So.
Well, I liked X-Files.
There's a lot of stuff I've never seen.
They did the same thing with X-Files, though, where it was more later on. You know, early on, it was every episode was pretty much a standalone, but they always had some sort of meeting in the, you know, Skinner's office or something like that, where they reveal, oh, you know, the the smoking man, he's involved somehow with something that's going on. And so you had this mythology that was going on, but then you had these standalone episodes. And that's what I think allowed the X-Files to succeed, was they had Mulder, they had Scully, people liked them. And in almost every episode, it didn't matter what happened in the previous one or the next one. You got a satisfying story with tidbits for this overarching mythology. We'll see. We'll see.
So I want your take on one of the lines that's in this trailer.
Okay.
This may be one of the last things we need to talk about in the trailer. But he does have this line that they're not exactly a team, but they can do some good.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not a team, what's he recruiting Sky for? What's he bringing Ward in for? Well, why does he have a mechanical and a bio expert and a driver who's apparently a legend if they're not a team?
I think, again, I think this comes from early on. Like, that might be his pitch to Sky to say, you know, we're not a team, but, I mean, she's in Lola with him. They are obviously...
And no one touches Lola, yeah. So, I mean, that's a big deal.
They're obviously at least friendly enough to, you know, have a casual conversation outside of an interrogation room. And so I think that that might be his early on pitch to her to say, help us, which I think, you know... I wouldn't have thought of that without you, what you said earlier about, you know, maybe he's recruiting her to help them spread the word, but just do so in a way that people won't panic.
Yeah. Well, and again, I'm not going to stand behind that theory right at the moment. I just throw it out there.
That's not a bad one, though.
That could be crazy talk.
It could be absolutely not crazy talk, though. I think that there might be something to that. So, yeah. I look at this trailer, though, and I think we're onto something good. We're onto a really high quality TV movie, regardless.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great show. I think it's going to be something that's consistently in the top 20, and something that Disney is going to promote the crazy out of, and we're going to see things everywhere. I mean, going back to Michael Eisner, this is a synergy situation here. This is a 42-minute commercial for Avengers 2 and every other part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's true.
For 20-some episodes a year. There's so much money to be made here.
The only problem is, you know, obviously they've only done the pilot. And, you know, Joss Whedon's behind that. Jed Whedon's working out with him and some other people. You know, we don't know who the writing staff is. We don't know who's going to be directing episodes and that kind of thing. The pilot is going to be really good and really sharp. I'm really worried about the drop off between the pilot and episode 2.
But don't you think by episode 4 or 5, we're going to have a feel?
Yes. But what kind of feel are we going to get?
I mean, don't think it's David Hasselhoff.
Wouldn't it be awesome though, if they brought in the Hoff for a guest cameo role?
You know what I would be really amused with? If they brought Hoff back to be Caucasian Nick Fury. Now, that would be hilarious if we could have both in a room with eye patches.
Yeah.
I don't know if Samuel L. Jackson would be up for that.
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be. All right. So here's another thing I'm worried about. I do not want this to turn into Smallville. And by Smallville, I'm not talking about the teeny bop part of this. I'm not talking about the CW primary viewership. I'm not talking about the romance. I'm not talking about the teen drama and all that kind of thing. I'm talking about the way that they're pulling in, you know, with Smallville, they pulled in these major characters like Aquaman, Flash, you know, and characters that once they brought them into Smallville, it made it really hard for anyone to do anything with them. And they just were brought in a very not impressive way.
Okay. So let me throw some names at you.
Okay.
Do you want to see them or not see them?
Okay.
Okay. Hawkeye, because they're talking about recasting it.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in the news section, but maybe.
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 Blade. Disney's got him back.
Nah. I want Blade in his own corner, doing his own thing.
What about somebody like Taskmaster?
Possibly. I could see him being a nice, good, you know, big bad for a season.
He'd be a fantastic big bad for a season.
Yeah.
But again, I think what you're seeing there is you're seeing a kind of a leveling. You mm-hmm. know? And as you're saying, you know, Blade, you know, he's kind of been done in other places. He's kind of, you know, he's got a big name behind him. People have an image of him. Be hard to reuse him if you brought him in here. Where Taskmaster is kind of a lower level. Yeah, it's not like you could go out and ask 10 people and have all 10 know exactly who he is. But so he might be a nice little fit. I still think Luke Cage would be a nice fit here. What we really need is Rick Jones.
Well, that'd be nice, but I really think they're gonna have to just bring in, you know, B and C level characters, and I'm worried about that because that takes away some of the legitimacy of what they're doing.
What I've always argued, is that DC's top is probably better than Marvel's top. But when you get into the second and third level of Marvel, there's still really solid characters there.
Yeah. Let me tell you who I want to see. I really want to see this happen. And some people who are listening right now, and I don't even know about you, Daniel, if you're going to even know about these guys. I want this to happen, though, and this is the only way I'm ever going to see this happen is on
this
TV show.
You cannot
see
Alpha Flight.
No. Alpha Flight needs its own movie. What?
Sasquatch on the big screen.
Oh, Alpha Flight would be an awesome movie. I'm surprised that they're making Guardians of the Galaxy before they're making Alpha Flight. But
Phase 8.
No, the Great Lakes Avengers. There needs to be a nice good arc taking place in, you know, Michigan and Wisconsin with the Great Lakes Avengers.
But the problem is the minute I see the Great Lakes Avengers, I'm going to want a crossover with Justice League Detroit.
But you're not going to get that. So
I know, but that's what
throw
I'm
that
going
out
to
of
want.
Your mind. Throw that out of your mind.
It'll take me out because I'll be thinking about Justice League Detroit and Aquaman. And it'll just be very uncomfortable.
No, we need a Great Lakes Avengers. They have powers. They like the Avengers, so they're going to be the Avengers, and they're just not as good.
I could see that. It would be fun. It could be a really fun episode.
Now, see, I like the Great Lakes Avengers from way back. I don't like what they've done recently with those characters, but up through what they were doing with when they joined like with Thunderbolts and became Lightning Rods, I think it is. I was enjoying them. But then they kind of turned it and made it really dark and nasty instead of just lighthearted and nice. You know, these are characters who just want to do good. They just want to do good. And they have powers but not skills. So that's who I want to see, though.
We definitely need to have our listeners chime in on this. Where we're wrong, what do they want to see?
What do you want to see? Yes.
Because that would be a very interesting set of feedback to see. When you see this, what do you see? What do you want? What obscure Marvel character that you're obsessed with do you want to see pop up in this thing?
All right, well, let's move on to one more thing, and that is our news section. We're going to talk about some news here. Daniel, you sent me a link to an article about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, specifically about Avengers 2 and Hawkeye. Jeremy Renner.
I don't take that as Avengers 2 news. I took it as Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news based on the fact that they were talking about the possibility we could see Hawkeye on the TV show.
Yes, because they were possibly going to replace the actor who plays Hawkeye with someone who's cheaper. That was the news. The news was that Jeremy Renner, you sent me this article, basically Jeremy Renner is complaining because he's not getting enough money. And he didn't get enough good screen time, which I agree with. He didn't do much in either Thor, where he thought, oh, I might shoot an arrow. No, can't take a shot. And Daniel?
That scene is a fanboy moment and a half right there.
You know what? It's not. It's half a fanboy moment.
Oh, that's a moment.
Oh, it's Hawkeye. Excited. That's so cool. It's Hawkeye. And then he pulls back the bow and he's thinking about it. He just might shoot, but no. So Hawkeye, who's known for what? Shooting arrows and being really good at it. What does he do in that movie, Thor? Almost thinks about shooting his arrow. He doesn't get to shoot the arrow.
I think he made a good call.
Yeah, it was a great call. In the context of the story,
Now, but, anywhere in this article, does it say that he's upset because he didn't get a purple uniform with a giant H on his head?
I doubt that. Were you upset that he didn't get a purple uniform with a giant H on his head?
Comic accurate. I mean,
I would be very disappointed if they drop Hawkeye altogether, because as I mentioned already, you know, I'm really hoping to see Great Lakes Avengers at some point in time. And who was the mentor to the Great Lakes Avengers? Hawkeye and Mockingbird. They were mentors to the Great Lakes Avengers when Hawkeye left the West Coast Avengers. And he's like, oh, well, this is my chance to have my own Avengers team. Of course, he's getting the Great Lakes Avengers out of it. So it's not a great chance, but.
Well, they can protect us from Canada.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. Okay. I grew up in Canada.
I understand that, but I mean, the defensive position of the Great Lake Avengers, you know, there's only one country it's up against, so.
Well, that's, you know, if you're talking inter-country, international conflict.
I'm just saying on the coast, you can go in many different directions.
Yeah, but we're talking about Marvel Universe. Things come from space, man.
Yeah, good point. Good
okay. point. Not that the Great Lakes Avengers are going to be much good against an enemy from space, but, you know.
But I'll be honest, I'd be okay with recasting Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Because he's the sort of hero you could put onto the small screen and make it work. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the CW or WB or whatever the heck it's called right at the moment, they've got Arrow on every week, and it seems to be working.
Well, here's the deal with Hawkeye. He can be easily be recast. I don't think – let me rephrase. There are three people that they could not recast because of who they are. One is Nick Fury. They can't recast him because the only reason they brought in Samuel L. Jackson was because they modeled the ultimate Nick Fury after Samuel L. Jackson. He is Nick Fury. You can't recast him. You can't recast – Bruce Banner at this point. They finally found a good Bruce Banner that people connected with and enjoyed watching. And you know, we'll talk about other Bruce Banners in the future, but
I disagree. They've already recast him twice.
And that's another reason why
the difference between you finally found a good Bruce Banner versus you can't recast Bruce Banner.
They could, but they'd be silly to do that because they finally found someone that people like. I think it'd be silly for them to recast it. But yeah, they could.
I think it'd be a waste of a lot of effort to finally get them to something that worked.
And then the other person you can't recast at this point is Tony Stark. Because so much of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is basically founded upon Robert Downey Jr. and that role. And to recast him, they're facing a super uphill battle at this point. Maybe in a few years they can do something with that, or, you know, 5 or 6 years. But right now, no. He's either in or he's out. But I don't think they can recast the character at this point.
Yeah,
Hawkeye, sure, whatever.
Absolutely. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the fall. I'm sure he'll show up in a nice little Archer outfit,
cameo. In a different facial reconstruction too. Look at that.
He can be on a multi episode arc.
You know, it could be they could take up, you know, pull from Knight Rider's example, and do the whole facial reconstruction thing. He's a same guy, different face. Yes, and I did just reference Michael Knight.
I actually thought that was pretty nice with all this Nick Fury talk.
Especially with the Nick Fury talk. I mean, if they're going to recast Nick Fury, you know who they have to bring in.
It has to be the Hoff.
It has to be the Hoff, yes. Yes, it does. Okay, so here's the deal, though, Daniel. And you were schooling me on this a little bit. Because I said, well, this article you sent me didn't have a actual source. And then I started finding other articles that were based on the article you found. Like, I was tracing back the sources, and it took me back to that article that didn't have a source. And then I found another article that says – what does it say? Jeremy Renner hoping to explore Hawkeye more in The Avengers 2. Rumor busting. Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye is going to return for Avengers 2. And a lot of all these rumors come from he's not in the cast for Captain America the Winter Soldier. In Winter Soldier, they brought back Sam Jackson. They brought back Scarlett Johansson. They brought back...
everybody but Coulson and Hawkeye.
Yeah, basically. Coulson and Hawkeye are not in Captain America. Oh, Colby Smulders, that's who I was going to say. And so they're kind of saying, oh, well, that's because he was complaining about his role and how he was just a zombie in Avengers for most of the movie. So,
yeah, they don't like complainers.
Well, and so, yeah, I think we're going to be going through this a lot with all these new movies.
Well, and again, so what was the source of this original piece that said he's not returning?
It went all the way back to Total Film, which went back to Worst Previews on the LA Times, which source was LA Times. Hero Complex, LATimes.com. It's an interview with Jeremy Renner.
In which he definitively said he's not coming back?
No, in which he was complaining. So all these articles are about him complaining in this LA Times article. And then speculation based on his complaining and Marvel not being, or I should say, Disney Marvel not being happy about the complaining.
So this is what I call welcome to Disney fandom. And I have two fantastic examples of welcome to Disney fandom.
All right.
Hit me with them. So you know about Avatar Land.
I do know about Avatar Land.
Yeah. Horrible decision. But regardless of horrible decision or not, about 9 months ago, there was a whole bunch of stories that broke that said Avatar Land was dead. And it was all based on the fact that nobody had seen any concept art. Because clearly if it was going to happen, there has to be concept art. And since they haven't shown us concept art, it must be dead.
And I take it it's not dead, or it is dead?
It is still announced as occurring.
Okay.
And then the other one is Marvel and Star Wars. A Disney fan blog right after the Disney acquisition of Star Wars and Lucasfilm put out a blog post about how they assumed that Marvel would be redoing the Star Wars comics and getting them back, and that Dark Horse would lose them. Well, I can tell you before we turn on the mics tonight, I was reading Star Wars Dark Horse number 5, which was fantastic. Maybe the best of that run so far. And is it the Star Wars, which will be coming out with Dark Horse in the fall, where they're going to take the original George Lucas script concepts and put it into a comic?
With the original Ralph McQuarrie concept art.
Designs. Not with Marvel. It's with Dark Horse.
Well, I mean, there's a contract there.
Yeah.
But easily could be bought out. Yeah, well,
and we were all told this was gonna, you know, this Star Wars volume Dark Horse was, you know, maybe gonna last a year because that contract was gonna go down, and I'm pretty sure that the Star Wars is gonna run past that contract.
Well, I think that these casting rumors, with especially the Jeremy Renner thing, although the other thing that was mentioned in this casting rumor was that they're talking about dropping Chris Hemsworth too, which I had never heard until I was reading this article, because Chris Hemsworth was complaining he's made two movies for them that have made, you know, like $8 bajillion, and he's getting paid what? Bupkis. So,
man, you know, usually I don't.
So they're thinking about recasting him. And so I'm looking at these and I'm thinking, okay, where's the source? And there is none. So we'll talk about news and rumors, but we're definitely going to be talking about are there sources on these rumors too.
And I think we can assume about 75% of what we discuss won't be real. It won't happen.
It won't.
And it won't. Hawkeye won't be on my favorite ABC show next fall.
So you're making the assumption. This is the future cast right here. This will be your favorite show in the fall?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, it's got to go up against the deadliest catch for me right at the moment, so.
Let's talk about the future, then. We have a summer and part of the fall to get through before we start seeing the show that we're actually podcasting about. So what are we going to do, Daniel, between now and then, especially since we decided to start this podcast before the show has even started, although not before it's been ordered to full season? So I think that there's, you know, once we got the news was ordered for full season, we started registering web addresses. We started registering Facebook accounts. We started doing, you know, all this stuff. We're pretty confident we've got a good thing going here. And if it's bad, In fact, it might even
well,
be fun.
Well, if it's bad, we'll never speak again.
Yeah. Well, it might be fun if you like it and I don't. That could be a really fun podcast.
That would be a fun podcast.
But what are we going to do between now and then, Daniel?
Well, we're just going to get ready for episode 2, which will be after Disney Fall begins in December. So, no. No, we've got a bunch of movies to talk about.
We do.
Just to get us ready. I mean, we got to talk about when Agent Coulson came onto the big screen for the very first time. We have to talk about his road trip to New Mexico.
Yes. I mean, we have a ton that we are going to be talking about this summer. We're going to be rewatching all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. We'll be talking about the Marvel one-shots, and we'll be talking about comics that tied in to the Marvel Cinematic Universe or that tied in other ways as far as just using the characters or introducing, like, Agent Coulson. Like, your blog post that you just wrote is about Secret Avengers. And number that'll one. Be on our blog at welcometolevel7.com. And we'll have blog postings, reviews, news, rumors, all that kind of thing. We won't be putting out episodes every week during the summer, but we will be watching through all the movies, starting with, obviously, Daniel, say it with me, starting with the Hulk. Yes.
Does that even right? count?
Yeah, I think that's where we need to start, Daniel.
Okay.
You sound so enthusiastic.
I'm a little scared.
Ang Lee's The Hulk. From, oh, let's see, I have it right here. My two-disc special edition.
You're the guy.
I am the guy who bought this. Actually,
they must have been really surprised when only one copy of the two-disc special edition was bought.
2003, it looks like. But actually, my sister gave me this movie for Christmas, the year it came out. And it was full screen. So I had to obviously trade it in for widescreen. I had to stand in line at Best Buy a couple days after Christmas.
Now that's a walk of shame right there.
You have no idea. You want walk of shame, you need to hear about Great Lakes Avengers. And no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say it. That's my nerdy little secret. I don't think I can reveal that. We want listeners. We want listeners to actually continue listening. I don't want to lose all my geek cred.
I have two goals here. Find out the Great Lakes Avengers secret and get you at some point to say you're a hot mess.
You will never, ever.
Oh, we're going to figure it out.
Never. I don't even know where that comes from. It'll never come out of my mouth. Okay.
One day you're going to be hot and your hair is going to be a little must and you'll be like, I'm a hot mess.
Yeah. I don't even know where. I feel a little strange right now. Okay. So anyway, our next episode, we are going to be talking about Hulk. You and me, Daniel. That means you have to watch the movie. Take notes.
Well, so we can talk about this thing. Ago. I'm sure my mind's still fresh.
No. You got to watch it. You got to take notes, man. You either need to buy it for $2 at a used DVD place, because that's how much it's going to cost at a used DVD place. Or I think you can rent it on Amazon, Amazon Instant Watch Rental. But yeah, man, that's what we're doing. But we won't just be talking about Hulk in our next episode, Daniel. Maybe this will soften the blow for you a little bit. Okay. To me, Hulk is kind of that fulcrum between all the Marvel movies that happened before then and the Marvel Cinematic Universe that happened afterward. So we'll talk about kind of what led into Marvel starting to try to grab up all their properties and create this awesome, awesome theater experience that we've had over the last years. When was Iron Man? When did that come out, man?
I'm a historian. I don't do dates.
2008. It's only been since 2008. And look how many movies we've gotten and a TV show. What kind of a world is this that we live in?
It's a geek-centric world where we rule with an iron fist.
It is. We do want to hear from you. Daniel, how can people connect with us? What's one way?
I think first is, you know, probably in the next week, they all need to go out and get the Hulk.
Yes. There's going to be a run on Hulk movies.
I was going to say, pretty soon there won't be any copies available.
eBay is going to light up this week, everyone's going to be like buying Hulk so they can listen to our podcast and be informed. And then the next week, everyone's going to look back at that week and say, oh my goodness, people are actually buying this movie. I'm going to put mine up. And it's going to flood the market, and everyone's going to be like buying them for 25 cents.
Great. Now everybody's going to wait until a week after to get their copy.
Yeah.
Well, so after you've gotten your copy of Hulk, you can follow us on Twitter at Level7Pod. Nice. And that's seven spelled out, S-E-V-E-N.
Level7Pod. You can also send us an email, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. Go to our website, welcometolevel7.com.
I see a theme.
Yes, indeed. You can leave a message, or you can leave a comment, rather, on our blog posts there. You can also leave us a voicemail. Just call 1-77-55, the word level, the number 7. Leave us a voicemail. That's 1-775-553-8357. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to use your comments on a future episode. You can also go to our Facebook. Just look up Welcome to Level 7 on Facebook, and we'll also have links to this on our website, welcometolevel7.com. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you about what you expect out of this show. What are you hoping for from this show?
Please not Great Lake Avengers, please.
And we also want to know what you think about the Hulk. Ang Lee's Hulk. Now, I'm not expecting to get too many replies, simply because this will be our second episode, and I don't even know how many people are actually going to listen to our first episode by the time our second episode comes out. Now's the time, though. Jump into the ground floor. You know, become one of those first listeners who can say, yeah, I was there at the beginning. I had an email read in the second episode. And then you'll be famous. You'll be internet famous.
I can remember when they talked about the trailer.
We have some thank yous to give out already, though. Did you know that, Daniel?
Oh, man.
Yes.
We got to make sure to get these right.
We had some people help us out with some of the graphics. First, there was Dan Connor. And you can go to his website, which is crazygoodcomics.com. And he has a webcomic there. He's the one who drew Agent Daniel, Agent Ben, for our graphics and everything like that. And so we really appreciate that. We also need to thank... Oh, go ahead.
Especially since he makes me look good.
Yeah. We also, if you go to facebook.com/aliengraphics, you will find Steve, I really apologize, Steve, for getting this wrong if I do, Steve Niblink, facebook.com/aliengraphics. This is the man who, he designed our logo and our iTunes artwork and our Facebook artwork. We also need to thank J.S. Earls for writing and giving us permission to use the music that we're using for our opening and our closing. And you can find him at jserls.bandcamp.com. Check him out, listen to his music, and give him a donation and be able to download his soundtracks. And that's the name of one of the albums. Another album is the Hyde Park Original Soundtrack, which is based on a comic book that he is also working on. So he's the creator of Pistol Fist. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, Daniel.
No, sadly I haven't.
Yeah, it's a comic from a few years ago about a guy in the Revolutionary War who on his arm he has a pistol for a fist.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
And does he bring justice?
Oh, you know it. And he's friends with Benjamin Franklin. One of my favorite Benjamins of all time. So, with all that said, Daniel, are there any final words you'd like to share with our audience?
You know, all I can think of is just remember, don't touch Lola.
Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. Look us up on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, where we are Level7Pod. Email us at feedback@welcometolevel7.com. Or join the conversation on our blog, welcometolevel7.com. You can also leave us a voicemail, 1-77-55, the word level, 7. And once again, thanks for listening.
Tingle.